Hi, everybody thinks I'm a bit crazy, I think, tonight. But
hang on, let's take a vote.
But this afternoon in these small groups, I think it was the first time that I've ever been loved in my life, that I felt being loved.
Whose group were you in?
George's.
George's group?
Yeah.
Where's George? Isn't that wonderful? Come forth. What's your name again? Oh, you and
him. Once seen, never forgotten. You don't have to remind me what my name is. For several months now, I've been suffering with quite a severe pain in the small of my back, which is a result of various times when I've put my back out. And it's been difficult when I get out of bed in the morning, it's a bit painful. And when I sit in the chair, it's not sitting down, but it's the getting up that hurts. And mowing the lawn and weeding the garden and all that sort of stuff, and a bit of bending over, and it's just been there. And I just haven't bothered with it because it's been there for so long, and going to the physiotherapy and all that sort of stuff. But I was prayed for it last night, and it's gone totally. The area actually where I had the pain actually feels, it's sort of got a sort of a numb feeling, and I think the numb feeling is because there's no pain there where there used to be pain. You know, when you get an injection for pain and it goes all numb, well, that's what my back has been feeling like since yesterday evening.
Just before you run away, I just think we need to give a special thanks to Ewan and Anne. They've been here, they open up for us, they run the book table, the sound desk. Jean, don't tell them to shut up. you know, so the first here and last to go, and so on like that, and it's just one of those behind-the-scenes jobs that's very much appreciated, and we just need to show our appreciation to Ewan and Anne. Thank you.
Anne and I just love to do this because we love this ministry. We know that it's an anointed work of God and that it's got great things ahead of it. And it's going to be an everlasting ministry, I believe. And that there will be people will follow on behind Rodney to continue the ministry. And we just love... we just love doing it, and we just do it. We do it because we love the ministry, we love Rodney and Jean, and we love Jesus.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Someone else? Testimonies of healing, what's happening? Okay. You want me to hold the microphone,
yes,
or hold you down?
Both. Hey, Will, suffice to say we love coming here every year, don't we? And it was so nice that Rodney and Jean could come all that way as well. But, you know, the fellowship amongst the people has been just absolutely amazing. John's teaching, you know, has been so profound and bang on, bang on. No gaps in the middle, and it's just left us so informed and challenged. And this afternoon in the group was just an amazing group, and every word was just so sharp and full on for everybody. I really appreciate it. I love you, Roger.
Whose group were you in?
I love you, Jean. John.
Who?
John.
John? He's in the...
Why are you shaking your head? You're not disowning me after saying all those nice things, are you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Somebody else? And we need to hear from some of those that went out on the street.
I'm one of the few representatives from the mainland, and I'd just like to...
When will you people from the South Island realise that mainland is a cheese?
Whatever. That's as good as you got. Sit down. I'd like to thank the pair of you for doing what you've done. It's been an amazing couple of days for me. It's like this is really something new for me, and it's something that I've kind of followed in a funny fashion over the last few years. I'd like to thank the ladies that did the kitchen and the food. It's just been amazing. And the sound people and the camera people, you know, but it's been really good. But it's... For me, this weekend is I've had my eye healed, and I had conjunctivitis. I went and got it sorted out a few days ago. I thought babies only got that, but I get it. It's not nice, but I've had that. I had it prayed upon, and it's been. Hey? Oh, righto. I really don't know what to do with these things. It's not a very good hammer. A few years ago, about three, I tried to get into the New Zealand Army because I wanted to join and be part of an army. And I prayed about it, and the Lord said, no, wait and join my army. And now I understand what that army is. It's a whole bunch of civilians. Yep. And the only weaponry is the Lord's word, and it's and the gifts that we've got, and it's like, oh well, yeah, General Rodders, yeah. So it's like, for me, it was a gift coming up here. I was shouted up here, and I'm truly grateful to the man that did that. And it's like, I couldn't have afforded to have been here, and it's just been such a fantastic time. I've met some amazing people, and it's on. Well, I remember when we got here on Friday morning, and I think we were pretty much, there was only about five or six people here when we first arrived. I thought, what are they going to get out of this? And an hour later, the car park's full, and not long after that, this is full. And then I look around and think, what are they going to get out of this? And I know what they're going to get now. I know what there is here, and it's like, and it's in me, and it's in you, and it's Jesus, and it's really, really neat. And it's such a neat feeling finally being part of an army and recognizing my position. And that's all right, too. And I got that this afternoon in this that little kind of speakeasy thing that we did. And that's, well, it was. As time went on, it was really quite enriching what people had to say about each other. And like we were just discussing it up the back, the intimacy that came in so fast, and the fact that it was Holy Spirit driven. And I just didn't realise just how much the Holy Spirit's been in my life, and how much I've ignored it, and how much I used to use the knowledge that He gave me, and I used it. I thought in a good manner, but now I understand there's better ways and nicer ways of doing it. And it's like, it's just amazing how, with the Holy Spirit, how those barriers can just fall down when you're doing it the way that you do it. And it's like, I mean, all credit to John, like he did a really good job of running it. He did nothing. Much. He just handed the tape round, and it was like, it was the Holy Spirit ran it, and as it should be done too, and it was just so good. So I'm extremely grateful for all of you that turned up here. I'm a sober alcoholic of 25 years, and I used to say in meetings, you know, thank God for AA and thank AA for showing me God. And it's like now it took me a long time to adjust to allowing Jesus into my life. Now I thank the church, you know, like the God for Jesus, because what He's done has given me what I've got now. And I guess the thing now is to go forward and with authority, and use my gifts appropriately, and pray for people that I know are going to struggle getting into heaven. And there's a lot of them out there, and I'm the only Christian in my family, and I know it, I feel it, and it's quite lonely. And when I was the only sober alcoholic in my family, I knew it, and I felt it, and I was very alone. And it's like, I don't feel quite as alone in the Christian church as I did it in AA. The fellowship here is deeper and it's sweeter. And I believe, you know, if for those that are AAs or whatever, AA is growing because there's a new movement coming. That's the Jesus movement in AA. And that's a real, and I just found out about that about 6 months ago. And that is a real victory for AA, believe me, because AA is a dry place. Full of really nice, sick people, but they're all right. So thank you.
Don't run away. Coming from the South Island, have you ever thought of taking English as a second language?
Now, we speak South Island down there.
Great. It's good that he could come, eh? Yeah, give him a clap. Where he comes from, he's not going to get another clap for a long time.
Greetings from the South Island. After 50... Sorry?
Do you want me to interpret?
That would be the third language you were trying. 50 years ago, I came to the North Island on a mission. It was to bring Kuthness, culture and civilization to the North Island. But unfortunately, I missed out on the big C. I came without any Christianity. I had touched on it in my early days, but as life progressed, I sort of let it slide aside. And my testimony is basically that GFM is owed a lot by me. 2 years ago, I was admitted to that big flash motel up on the hill with a stroke. I also had rampant hyperglycemia, which is diabetes going off the clock. A month later, I was back in again, this time with a heart attack, bilateral pneumonia, which is pneumonia in both lungs, and again, rampant hyperglycemia. And I was getting to the stage of saying, I've had enough. I'm stuffed. What's the point of carrying on? What's the purpose in carrying on? Because I did not have religion. I did not have a God that I was aware of to call on or to ask for support. And while I was in there, I was very fortunate that a GFM member went out of their way to visit me, to find out how I was going. And this person was also part of a church home group which I got involved in. And for the first time in my life, as I was lying there, this person, in a very quiet voice, said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" And that sounds a very simple thing. It sounds almost every day. But let me assure you, from a person on the outside, that it's not simple and it's not every day to the recipient. I changed there and then, and I started to realize that, yeah, why chuck it in now? Why not keep going? So I kept going. Obviously, I'm not in this process of decay, even if I can only speak two languages. However, I have kept going, and I noticed on reviewing the people that came to visit me when I was in hospital, the person from Rotary, the person from the Council of Elders, and a couple of other people, every one of them had a very strong line into Christianity. Over the time I was in there, I probably had 10 or 12 visits that related to Christians, and 3 or 4 that didn't. And this again made me think, as I was lying there on my bed, that there's got to be something in Christianity. There's got to be somebody looking after me. And so I carried on. I started to go to church. I didn't take a very active part. And I said to this friend of mine, "I'd like to get more actively involved in something to do with church. You know, got any bright ideas?" Because when you're on the outside, you don't have many bright ideas about what happens in church, because you ain't been there enough, long enough, active enough to get involved. And it was suggested to me, well, GFM are looking for markers of papers. And I thought, and I said, who and what are GFM? And it was pointed out to me that they were a collection of Christian-orientated people who wanted to promote Christianity. I know that's putting it in that many words, but it should be that many. But so I became a writer. I freely admit I did not have the depth of conviction, the depth of knowledge or understanding to be able to mark papers. And as a writer, I could afford to get into debate with people at GFM as to whether or not the papers were quite fair in the way they were written. But, you know, when they're written in North Island language, you've got to accept it, don't you? So the next move was that I heard that this conference was going to happen. And I said to Jackie, what's the conference all about? And she told me. And I said, well, I think I might go along. And I said to my friend, I think I might go along to this. And both of them said, why? And I said, to get educated. To get educated. Now, what's wrong with that? You've already criticised me for being a dumb South Islander. And when I say I'm coming along to get educated, you rubbish me. But seriously, that was my motive. But both these people suggested fairly strongly, I'm not too sure that you'll get educated. It's going to be a session of participation. And I thought, well, okay. I've taught everything from 5-year-olds to 65-year-olds, so I guess I fit in there somewhere. And I said, I'd give it a go. So I came along, and I didn't have my crepe rubber with me, which I usually carry when I go somewhere for the first time to put between my knees, because I knew I'd only know 2 or 3 people. But let me assure you that I have been educated. I have seen Christianity practicing. I have seen Christianity in reality. As a person on the outside, faith healing. Oh yeah, how much do they pay them to come up and put on that act? Or the people fall down and get up and say, I'm okay. Was there anything really wrong with them to start with? You know, I was coming from the outside. Boys and girls, ladies, general. I've got a totally different vision now. It's all go. It's for real. I've been there. I've seen it happen. I had femoral muscles that were not functioning the way they should, and it was taking me quite a struggle to get up out of chairs. Now, instead of doing push-ups to get out of a chair, I just put my fingers on the side and pretend that I'm pushing, and I stand up. And that's because you guys came over there when I was sitting over there and laid your hands on me and prayed for me. Thank you, and thank you, my Lord, for that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity of seeing what Christianity is. Thank you of being able to participate in one-on-one. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to participate in a prophetic situation. I was in my group, and I said, when I was asked if I had any comment, I said, somebody has been buying my autobiography and not paying for it. Because so much of what they were saying about this guy, I could say, hey, but that's true. How did you find out? I think I know, but I've got to come back to another conference and find out.
Anyone got a burden to evangelise the South Island? Come on, just quickly now, try and keep them short, we'll move on. John's got 5 sessions to fit in before midnight.
Well, the Lord's been touching me for a month or two, and I've been had real touches from the Lord. Just such an anointing during our worship times on a Monday night. And anyway, he was doing something, and he was doing something more. And you talk about the mysteries of healing. Well, this has been a mystery to me, and I've been seeking the Lord for the roots. And this is what we've been getting today. And what? Prayer yesterday? Prayer last week? In GFM? And now I can get up and down from my chair. No hands, you know? No hands, like riding a bike. And God is awesome.
These chairs are a problem.
They're a problem to get out of when you can't do it.
Yeah.
Good evening. God is awesome. I came here by default in a way. My wife brought a pamphlet home because her boss had said to her, oh, let's go to this meeting. So Jan brought it home and says, I'm going to this with the boss. And I looked at it and I says, no, we're going. And the last week I've been getting really excited about coming here because I had an anticipation that God was going to do something. And I didn't really know exactly what he was going to do. But it was like I got here and we're sitting there. Now, I'm sorry, names I've forgotten, but the gentleman came up the front and he had a word. And it was to someone who believed that their ministry was a healing ministry. And he said that you weren't basically stepping out and this was your last chance before God handed it to someone else. When he said that, I went into panic. I started freaking out in my stomach. I was getting sick because I knew that he was talking about me. And when we had the break, I went down, I talked to him. He explained to me what it was. And what it was I didn't think that I was worthy enough for God to use in a way that he wants to use me. I still don't know exactly how he wants to use me, but I know he wants to use me. That was awesome. So he filled me in and we talked about it and that was fine. That was the first thing that happened. The next thing that happened was Rodney was talking about going to Kenya and doing all this, going to Dubai and Kenya, and I'm sitting here, I'm getting itchy feet, thinking about it, and that was cool. Went home last night, and I'm coming in this morning. And God was showing me so many things. And he showed me when John was talking about stepping out, and God will be with you. And what he showed me was with the prophets of Baal, when they built the bonfire, right? And they flooded the bonfire with water, and then God came and it was burning. Now that was stepping out and God was behind him. And that's how he showed me that's what he wants me to do. And he wants all of us to do that. But he was pertaining that to me. That was fine. Still driving in and the trip, this Kenya thing came back up into my head. I thought, oh, that's cool. We come here, we're out having a cup of tea this morning and Joyce comes up to me. Neil. Yes. I had picture your face last night and I kept getting this word and she said, you might know what it is means, I don't know what it is, but she said, God is telling you to go, just go. Do you know what it is? And I said, I believe I know what he's saying, so I'm going to go. You know, Rodney's got the address, I've got the information, God's got to do his part obviously, because you know cost things to go, but the point is we have to be obedient. You know, I thought I was stepping out how God wanted me, but I wasn't even anywhere near where he wanted me. I was taking little steps when God wanted me to take a big step. And what I've learned out of it is sometimes we have to maybe ask God, how big are the steps? We don't want to run ahead of him, but I was getting behind him. Today we went out into the streets, and now, man, I struggled. I struggled, and it was exciting. It ended up, for me, really exciting because we started talking to a couple of guys on the streets. One was lying, sitting on the footpath, and one was standing. And so I honed in on the guy sitting on the footpath with his little hat out, and I asked him what he was doing. He said, oh, I want some money. And my partner, she went to the other guy and was talking to him. So between the two of them, we had these two different conversations going. And next minute, this guy sitting on the footpath started quoting me scriptures. And I'm going, oh, whoa, hang on. He knows more about that than me. and we started talking about Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. No, there's only God. And since then I've talked to some of the others, and what they've explained to me is he was basically coming from a Jehovah Witness point of view, is obviously how he'd been taught. But the awesome thing was, I turned around to him and I says, well, if you know so much about God, you won't mind me praying for you. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. You pray. I said, and you're smoking, you know. You want to give up your smoking? Yep. So he allowed us to pray for him. The other man didn't. He just watched and didn't want to be prayed for. But this one man did. And we don't know what the results are. But we just did it. And I'm just going to go to Kenya. And God is awesome. Thank you.
If God's talking to anyone else about going to Kenya, you better see me. Actually, there's 21 on the team at this point. So, they're great times. And, I'm serious. If you feel God speaking to you, we like to give people an opportunity. We actually have 30 seats booked on the plane. So we've still got 9 seats. Otherwise, they'll get cancelled at a certain point of time. And we try to give people just a quick taste of 3 different continents, which would be the Middle East with Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and then Africa with Kenya, and then Singapore with Asia on the way home. So we leave on the 13th of October, get back to New Zealand on the 4th of November, which is just over 3 weeks. And in that time, you will have been a part of a team that's most likely going to bless thousands of people. And, it's great. So, bless you. Now, Jen, you've had your hand up. But yes, come.
Well, Beth and I went out as a team. And I'll tell my one and you tell your one. How's that? So we prayed for words of knowledge before we went out, and I received 3 words of knowledge. And the first one was brown shoes, sleeplessness due to a troublesome spirit, which I sort of discerned was under a spirit of heaviness. So we went through them all looking for brown shoes. And not many people wear brown shoes these days. And we came across a very well-dressed lady. And so Beth and I prayed, and Lord, was this the one? And we both agreed, yes. And it was awesome having confirmation, because we both strongly felt, yes, this was the lady. So that gives you a certain confidence and boldness. So so we went up to this lady and we said, well, I said to her, we'd prayed and we'd asked the Lord who he wanted to touch in town, and we showed her the things we'd written down. We had brown shoes, and she was wearing brown shoes, and we, when we saw her shoes, we'd prayed, and yes, God said that she was the one. And so we said to her, we felt that she had a problem with sleeplessness. Oh yes, she said. And I said, and we sort of asked if she was a Christian, and she sort of indicated she goes to church sometimes, didn't she? She obviously wasn't on fire, but she had some belief, and so we asked her, I said to her about the spirit of this troublesome spirit. I felt the Lord was saying that it was a troublesome spirit, and would she be happy for us to pray about that? And she was very happy. So we dealt to that issue right there and then, and it was such a blessing, because just to get the confirmation and to have Beth here saying, yes, yes, that's it. And that, I know that gave me confidence to approach her so boldly, and it just went boom, 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 didn't it?
Yeah. I had to peel her off the ceiling afterwards. Yeah. No, I've never had anything to do with words of knowledge before, but I prayed like Jan, and I believed I had 2, and I was hunting for mine. We were sort of helping each other look for the people we thought we'd be given. And the time was going. We were walking up and down, and we tried a few other people that might have fitted one of Jan's, and they said no. And at one point, I saw this, what I thought was a young boy with, he'd obviously had a major operation and had, what do you call those things? Braces on his legs. And I said, oh, Jan, I think we should go and offer to pray for him. And Jan said, well, he's a child. You've got to be careful with children. And just then he walked over to a woman. And I said, well, look, that must be his mum. Now we can go and pray for him. He wasn't anybody on our list of words for knowledge. But I just looked at him and I thought, Lord, if I was that child and I knew there was someone here who could pray and see me get healed and they didn't come up and ask, I would just feel stink. And I can only thank you guys for that, because I wouldn't have had that confidence before this weekend to even think that way. And so I went over and I introduced myself and I said, oh, excuse me, ma'am, is this your son? And they both looked at me and laughed, and the young boy said, actually, no, I'm his daughter. He looked exactly like a boy. And the daughter said, oh, that's okay, don't worry, somebody's already made that mistake today. And I said, oh, that's very gracious of you, thank you. And so I said, well, look, we're Christians and we know that Jesus can heal, and I would really love, if you were willing, for us just to pray for you for healing. And they both laughed again and they said, oh, well, that's very kind of you, but somebody's already asked for that too today. So obviously someone else in the team, who's the other people in the team who saw the, did they let you pray for them? Yeah. Did you get to pray for him? Yeah. Oh, choice. Okay, great. Her, I mean. So then I was still, as time went on, we were running out of time, and I just was getting a real disturb in my spirit, because one of the words of wisdom I've got was a young teenager in one of these mid-grey hoodie sweatshirts with hoods that they wear, when they're sort of all closed up and inside themselves, and I got the word drugs. And I'd seen lots of teenagers, but I couldn't find the one with the right sweater on. And I was saying to Jan, I'm getting concerned. I really feel we need to find him and pray for him, you know. So we stopped, and we were seeking the Lord and asking him, and we both felt he was there somewhere and we should still keep looking. And then just when it was about 5 minutes to go back to the car to meet the people who'd brought us, we suddenly spotted him down the street. Well, we spotted someone down the street, and we both stopped and prayed and said to the Lord, is this the one? And we both thought he was saying yes. So we literally ran after this boy, because they were walking so fast we couldn't have caught them any other way. And we got up to him and we spoke to him and we used John's technique of saying, hope you don't mind, but we think you might be the treasure we've come out to look for today. And we showed him the bit of paper where I'd written the conditions about him. And he was very understanding and very nice. And he said, oh. And I said, well, are you having any problems with drugs, or maybe wanting to get off drugs, or, you know, being tempted by them? And he said, no, I'm not. And I said, oh, well, maybe you're not the one. I said, please don't be offended. We were Christians and we just felt we wanted to offer to help if there was somewhere we could help. And he was very nice and he was quite happy. And Jan very quickly grabbed a tract and gave it to him, which he took and said he'd read. So I can't say it was a successful operation, but then I've never, ever moved in Words of Knowledge before. But I loved the opportunity to do it. I really enjoyed being out there. I found the people totally open and willing. And I can remember 3 years ago, I lived up in Whangarei, and I'd never moved in the prophetic word then. And GFM Ministries came up to Rukaka and taught us for 2 days. And in that wonderful, loving, caring, safe environment that they provide, we had the opportunity, like you have today, to move in the prophetic for the first time. And that was the beginning for me. That showed me that, yes, I can hear God. And I can bless people. And so that was the beginning, and that's grown. So now I'm looking at this and saying, well, thank you, Lord. I don't know about Word of Knowledge yet, but I know that I can do the same as I did with the prophetic, and I can go back home now. And any time I'm in town, I can just do that same thing. I can just be seeking the Lord all the time I'm out there in the streets, and I will be, for opportunities, a Word of Knowledge somewhere for someone there that I can pray for healing or to bring a word. So I'm just so encouraged. Thank you, guys. I'm stoked.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Bishop of Norton.
It's one of those things where you know, you can be a pastor or a leader, and there's a whole lot of stuff you haven't done, you know. And going out on the street and doing that today was one of those things that I haven't done before, and it was slightly kind of comical, because. We found lots of other team members, and we were having a real shortage of sick or injured people, you know. And we prayed for the girl with the brace on her knee, because we were looking for someone with a broken leg. But we just couldn't find the other people we were looking for, and so we decided that instead of bumping into all our colleagues all the time, we'd go somewhere where people were sick. So we went to the hospital. And we already had someone we had to go and see up there, who is one of our fellowship, and she's not in a good way at all. So we went up there and prayed for her. So it didn't kind of work out exactly how it should have worked out, but hey, the good thing was that we broke the ice. You know, so the next time's just, hey, the second time, we've done this before. And I think that's quite important for us, you know, because in the natural, that's not my style. And so, yeah, it was really good that we went and prayed for this lady who was in tremendous pain and very agitated because she's been through a major emergency bowel operation. She's had a seizure after that. She's in a lot of pain. She's all swollen up. And, boy, she really needed the prayer. So, hey, it turned out differently.
Thanks, Grant. Praise the Lord. Be quick.
We also went out on the street, but we went over the other side of the river to Chartwell Square, Westfield, and it was very interesting, very hard. Found it a real challenge. We sat in the car and prayed, and God gave us some people, and so we had our little list, but we approached probably about 6 or 7 people. They said no thank you or no, and we met a lady who was a Jehovah Witness. She was having a coffee, and so we asked if we could pray for her, and she said no thank you. And I said, oh well, we're Christians. Oh, what kind? And I went, I said, born again, Pentecostals. Oh, and she said, I'm a Jehovah Witness. But we just said, well, God bless you. And she really encouraged us. She said, good on you for going out there and giving it a go. She said, that's really good. And so that encouraged us to keep going, you know. But doesn't matter. They said, no thank you. That's all right. We just kept going until we actually didn't actually really pray for anybody, but we never stopped. We thought, no, we've stepped out and stepped over the line, and we just kept going. And Judy had a nice little experience.
Oh, yes, yeah. We kind of, not in desperation, but we walked into a supermarket, and I felt to approach this gentleman, and I kind of got a bit of an aggressive response. What were his words? Shouldn't you be doing this inside a church? Yeah. And then I lined up behind him at the checkout, and then he said...
Any luck with praying for anybody? Yeah, and she said, oh, no, not yet. Oh, he said, but this is a supermarket, not a church. So we just stood there and we smiled at him. And he said, good luck for praying for people. And off he went, didn't he?
He did. The thing I think I got from it was just that to be obedient, just to do it. And that's the blessing that I got, just to go out and do it. Yeah. And keep on.
Bless you. Okay, perhaps we could have one or two reports from the group leaders this afternoon. How your groups went, anything particularly you'd like to share with us, and that, because people have been raving about what's been happening there. John did nothing, so he's gone. Come and share, John. This is Reverend Apostle Trail from Featherston.
Finally recognised. Well, even though we were cast to the uttermost ends of the earth, we were at the far end in the kitchen, but the good news was God was there. And I think we took a vote and we decided we were the best group too, weren't we? So, no, but a great time, awesome time, and just I want to build upon what one or two folks have already said, just how quickly the barriers drop. And it's probably fair to say we're quite a different mixture. We even accommodated the South Island. And but just like the church, made up of totally different sorts of people, but, you know, through the Holy Spirit, it gets broken down so quickly. And, you know, even in church, it can take a while to build relationship, can't it, in the normal? But, boy, when you start operating and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister, those relationships, those barriers drop real fast. And so it was a great experience. I can truly say I think I was far more blessed than I could bless, you know. So a great time, brilliant time. So I just encourage you, don't let it be a once-er either. You know, take it back with you and take every opportunity you can to speak in and to build up others' lives.
Thanks, John. Yes, Alan, come share. Perhaps the group leaders could just line up quickly and just share briefly. That'd be cool.
Well, if John was out in the uttermost parts of the earth out there, I think we were in the highways and byways because we were right by the door there. So we had people coming and going and the door was opening and not quite sure who was with the other group over there, but boy, you guys were loud sometimes. So we learned to hear God's voice amidst all sorts of distraction. Anyway, so we were there and everybody in our group was contributing and was hearing from God for other people. And a lot of the words would confirm the previous words. And there was two or three people when, as the words were coming, those people were breaking down and crying. And obviously God was touching on something in their lives. And people were just greatly ministered to and greatly encouraged. And you could see that happening. And I remember one of the sessions when one of the ladies had a word out of Deuteronomy. Thank you, Val. And she was giving it to one of the other chaps. And I'm thinking, oh, that's an interesting verse. I wonder if someone gave that to me. I'm not quite sure what I got out of it. But halfway through reading out this verse, the guy started to cry. And I thought, Val, it was amazing. So amazing. That verse just spoke to him. It was just the right thing. And that was awesome. So we could see people were touched, people were encouraged. And when people gave feedback, normally it was things like, yeah, that was just so encouraging. And that just confirms things to me. And it was just an awesome time. And we know that people were greatly encouraged and they were different at the end of that, whatever it was, 2-hour session than at the start. It was awesome.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, we had a good time too. We were just this side of the outermost parts of the earth. And it was very noisy out there too. There just seemed to be a lot of noise from just outside the earth. But we had a good time in our group and it was just amazing. I don't know why we're amazed, but just continually amazed at how the words that people are bringing are so accurate. It's like there is an anointing on a group of people. It doesn't matter, you know, how much practice they've had or how little practice they've had. You get in a situation like this and there's just an anointing on the people that people are open and God just speaks through them. So, yeah, it's a great thing to do. So what I want to do now is actually just put in a little word from our sponsor here. Is that on Tuesday night, next Tuesday night, which is only a few days away, you can come back here to this room, this very room, and experience it all over again. So Alan, who was just up here, he's speaking next Tuesday. For those that don't, I'm allowed to do this, am I? Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. For those that don't know, GFM has a equipping station here in Hamilton on a Tuesday night, on the first and third Tuesday night of every month. And so we meet together here, and there's some teaching and encouragement. And usually Rodney sends an email of telling us what he's been up to. And we have people in the chair, and we make tapes for them. And sometimes we get emails from people overseas. We make tapes for people that we can't even see, and send them away. And then, you know, usually a month or two later, Rodney sends me an email with their reply. How much they've been blessed. And it's an amazing ministry to be able to. To send these tapes to people on the other side of the world and to know that, and to hear back how God has been speaking through you to them, to situations we don't even know about. All we know is the name of the person. So if you want to, if you are somewhere near here, live somewhere near here, so I come from Auckland to this, right? So if you live somewhere near here, South Island might be just a little bit far away, you know, and you want to keep putting this into practice and you don't have anywhere else to do it, then come here on a Tuesday night. At 7 o'clock, Tuesday night, and it's the first and third. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Well, we weren't in the outermost ends of the earth. We were in the centre of the universe, which was in here. So there were three groups in here, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We had the lot. So we had a really neat group of people and two lovely married couples, which would just really bless me. And we were a little bit strange with each other to start with because we didn't all know each other. But there were words of knowledge and words of encouragement, some prayers, some tears, some laughter. But we all went away smiling and everyone got a tape to take with them. So we had a good time in the centre of the universe.
You go, hi everybody, I'm George from Creche. Yeah? And me and my kids today had a great time out there. I think Rodney put me in Creche because in reality Gene, because we have 10 children. But anyway, we had a very interesting time out there, and I think I can say, and the group can respond in a second, that kind of none of us wanted to leave. Yeah, I don't know if we were the last ones finished, but we ducked away for a quick sort of bite to eat before sneaking back here. But it was absolutely fantastic. And we had three generations age-wise in the one room. And everybody participated and everybody got encouraged. Everybody got blessed. I think everybody cried. I know everybody laughed. And it was just an amazing time where God just touched people's lives in areas that were sometimes surprising. And, you know, as our brother Laurie here said before about how did they get hold of his autobiography, we had some similar things in our group of specific little items that were very personal to the people that no one knew about, and God kept on focusing on them and encouraging them and building them and showing them more about what he'd already given them a long time ago. So it was a fantastic time. They always are. And, yeah, a real blessing to be a group leader. It's just like being part of it is just such a blessing. And I could have gone out there without getting a tape myself. It wouldn't have worried me because I'd already been blessed, but these guys kind of insisted. But the pink Jewish skull cap one I'll think on.
I think it would suit you, George.
I don't know. Can you remind me?
Somebody discern?
Can you remind me? Can you remind me? Well, we were very, very fortunate because we were in the Holy of Holies. Weren't we? We were in the Holy of Holies in the chapel. Well, fabulous. And I'm so, why are you people all laughing? It's a serious matter. Very serious matter. We had a tremendous group, a tremendous group, and it's we had a lot of laughter, didn't we? A few tears, ministering to one or two different things. The words that came were, most of them were very spot on. People testified they were spot on, was very accurate. And we had a marvellous group. And like at the start, we introduced ourselves to each other. And then we had one family. And it was marvellous just to see the unity in the group. Would you people with us agree with that? Yeah. It was fantastic, really was. So thank you. Thank you, Talatala and Gussie.
Was that indigestion? That's great. You know, you've got to ask yourself the question, why do we not do these things more often? Why does it take a conference? Because, you know, within every heart here and in every church, people are hungry to hear from God. Why don't we take the time to let people hear from God through the body? Right? I mean, that's what it's all about. We need the voice of God in our midst. We need the gifts of the Spirit to be operating. We need the power of the Lord present to heal and to set free. And so I trust that, you know, each of us will be able to take something away from these 2 days that we can build into our life and into our ministry, that it's not just something, oh, that was a nice time back there, but that we've been able to capture something of what we've heard, what we've experienced, captured in the Spirit in such a way that we can build upon it to help us in our future ministry and obedience to God. Because really, if we're going to be honest here, we're just scratching the surface. Just think of what could happen if we were totally available to God. How God could use us. I mean, I'm challenged, you know, thinking the scriptures about Saul when he got saved. You know, he was so sold out to God the day he got saved. Lord, what do you want me to do? That the Lord could trust him by giving him the name of Ananias and said, you go there to Damascus and wait there in that house until my servant Ananias turns up and tells you what to do. You know, can God trust you and me enough to give other people your name, my name, and tell them you are coming with the prophetic word that turned out to be the whole foundation of the Apostle Paul's ministry? God can't do that if he knows we're going to sit at home and pray and argue until the conviction goes away and we don't go. Because poor old Paul would die of starvation waiting for us to turn up. You know? And so we need. But you just think of the possibility. I was telling somebody, I don't know if I shared this, but it just comes to me now. This is the kind of thing that God wants to get us into. When I was up in Wales on one of the trips, I drove into the city of Llanelli. We were there when the last All Blacks there. It was funny. You know, 30 years previously, they'd beat the All Blacks 3-0 and the score was still on the board. And they only beat us 3-0. And I drove into this car park, got out of the car, and I noticed this man standing at the other end of the car park. And when I got out of the car, this man came walking up to me and he said, excuse me, I didn't know anyone in the city. Is your name Rodney Francis? I said, yes, who are you? He said, I was at home praying this morning and God gave me your name and told me to come and stand in this car park because you would be coming here today and I was to give you this envelope. And he handed me an envelope that had £200 in. A total stranger. And just walked away. You see, that's Holy Spirit. Supernatural guidance. God providing needs. But also, there was a person that had learned something in a relationship with God that he could trust the voice of God enough to act upon it. That meant he had to get out, most likely whether he caught a bus, a car, whatever. But he had to get to that car park. And he stood there, and he was waiting, and then I turned up. See? Numbers of times in the prophetic ministry, when you walk up to a person and you start to minister a word to them, sometimes they just blurt out and say to me, I knew you were coming. I knew I would be the next one. And things like that. You see, in Holy Spirit ministry, God prepares both sides. Saul was prepared to go to Damascus and he had to wait there until Ananias came. So on the other side, God's dealing with Ananias and telling him to take a walk. And it was all wonderful until God told him who to go and see. Because they'd all heard that Saul was in town to beat their brains out. You know? And so God had to reassure Ananias, go your way. He's a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and rulers. Now you're going to tell him what great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. And he said, get up, go down the street. You'll find Straight Street. Go down that street and you'll find a house. The door's open, go inside. A man's on his knees praying. Lay your hands on him. Pray for him that he might receive faith to be healed. Just reminds me when I was in Sicily, not this last trip, the trip before, God gave me a word of knowledge in the meeting for a lady. Her name was Juicy. Good name for ladies. Spelt G-I-U-S-Y. Juicy. It's quite common in Italy. Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge for Juicy that God was going to release her into a ministry of healing. She had never functioned in the healing gift, and I never saw, when I left that church in Trapani in Sicily, I never saw any evidence of that gift in action. After I left town, one morning Juicy's in her house, and the Holy Spirit said to her, Juicy, I want you to walk down the other end of your street and knock on the door that I will show you. And when you knock on that door, you offer to pray for anyone sick in that house. Juicy had never done anything like this before. And so with a bit of nervous apprehension, because she so wanted to obey God, she got up. She walked down the street, and as she walked down the street, the Holy Spirit said, knock on that door. So she stepped up to that door, and she knocked on the door, and the door opened, and a lady came to the door, and Juicy introduced herself, just like you did today. I'm a Christian. I believe God speaks to me this morning in my home. I live down the other end of your street. God spoke to me and told me to come and knock on your door and to offer to pray for anybody sick in this house. The lady just burst into tears, fell on her shoulder and sobbed. She took her by the hand and said, you come with me. She led her into the room of a house where another lady was dying with a brain tumor. Juicy laid hands on her and prayed the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus, and God totally healed her. She's got a doctor's clearance. This woman's alive and well today because the Holy Spirit spoke to Juicy in her home and sent her on a mission down the other end of her street. See, these are the kinds of things that God's trying to bring us to. The gospel of the kingdom is a supernatural gospel. It's not the gospel of a mind theology. It's about the power of God that impacts people. And so on. You know? And so the next time I went back to Trapani in Sicily, it was amazing. Everybody that knew me there rushed up to me and say, have you heard about Juicy? No, what's going on with you? Haven't you been told about Juicy? What's happened with Juicy? And they told me the story about Juicy. You know, it just affected so many people because there was the fulfillment of the prophetic word that was given. You see, prophetic words, they are ministering to people spirit to spirit. And it activates something in the spirit of the people that will receive the prophetic word that we have to give. And as a result of that, it unties God's hands to be able to do something supernaturally into that situation. See, because God knows the need of the people. We only think we do. He knows the need of the people, and through the spiritual gifts, through listening to the voice of God, he wants us to know that these are the keys of the kingdom. That with these gifts, whatever we unloose on earth shall be unloosed from heaven. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Not what he does, but what we does. Isn't that right? Because he's given us the keys, and John illustrated that. When you've got the keys, then you've got the power to be able to unlock things and to lock things. And that's what this ministry is all about. It's supernatural. And I tell you what, there is something in the makeup of humanity that longs or strives or seeks something of supernatural in their life. And if the Christian church does not provide it, the occult realm does. And then we stand back and we criticize people for being in the occult, and all they're doing is seeking a supernatural experience which should be given to them by us. And we don't even know who we are. You see? And when the power of God is lacking in the church, the kingdom of darkness thrives. And we've got to turn it around. We've got to turn it around. And the only way it's going to be turned around is not by clever sermons and things like that. But hearing the word of the Lord. Hearing the voice of God. God, what are you saying? What are you wanting me to do? God, if we're willing, if we're available, God can take us on journeys. You know, in the few times in my life, you know, I'd be sitting at home or in a meeting or something, but usually just when I'm by myself, sometimes God will speak like, I am sending you to Hawaii, and when you get there, you will minister to a lady in a blue dress. You all know that story and the wonderful miracles that took place as a result of that. Or, you know, I am sending you to Italy, and when you get there, you are to speak this message at the pastor's conference. And when I obeyed, and then I had a vision of what would happen if I did what God asked me to do. And I saw all of these ministers weeping in one another's arms, asking forgiveness. Get to Italy, I obey the Lord, I speak the message, I see the fulfillment of the vision, and that one act of obedience opens an entire nation to me. And now, from Italy, I'm invited to Panama. Now, most likely to Australia. Never preached in Australia, just fly over the place all the time. But out of Italy, these contacts are now coming. Remember I said the other day about the Holy Spirit just showing me that when you give a word of knowledge there, it opens doors over there. You see, if you want opportunities to serve the Lord, just obey God. He knows how to open the doors. He can get you in places you'll never get into. You see, and so it's so important that we are learning to be people that are sensitive, tuned into the Spirit. It's not about program. It's about availability, willingness to listen to the voice of God and allow God to touch us and bring people across our paths or bring us across people's paths, so that there is a divine appointment. See, and healing is a divine appointment, isn't it? A divine appointment with Jesus the healer. But you and I are the ones that make it happen, but it's God who instigates. See? And so we have this wonderful opportunity to be workers together with God. It's a tremendous privilege. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got nothing to do with qualifications, educations, or any other shins. But it's got everything to do with, are we willing to listen to God and what He wants to do? Amen? That's the challenge of the prophetic. For me, the challenge of the prophetic right now is to raise the standard where it will command respect in the Christian community. Because when we start to live in the realm of the prophetic and seeing what it can do, we will just see so much more happen, so much more genuine fruit for Jesus than any other way of ministry. Amen? Well, I'm going to leave it there. I want to leave a bit of time for John, but as we promised, we were going to take up an offering at this conference. It's a free will love offering, but this is going to go 100% towards helping us to get the gospel out. As many of you will know, Gospel Faith Messenger is ministering now in 90 countries around the world. And you heard yesterday from Jackie, we have something like over 5,000 people doing free Bible correspondence courses in over 50 countries. You wanted to. So if anybody would like to sponsor the postage, see Pam, you just think for a moment what the postage of that for 1 year must be, because I don't know. So Pam, our treasurer there, we'll just let that move around, but let's just, Lord, you just speak to us to what we should do in this situation. Because if we've got a heart to touch nations of the world, then friends, we've got to release the resources into the kingdom to make it happen. Amen? Amen. So we just appreciate this, but this is something that we do in each of our conferences to give you an opportunity to be a seed sower into this ministry. Remember, as we said before, if you want a tax deductible receipt, you need to let us know, Pam know, put your offering in an envelope if it's cash, or if you've got a check and you want one, put your name and address on the back of the check so you can get a tax deductible receipt and you can claim that off your income tax at the end of the year, financial year. Well, have you appreciated John's ministry these 2 days? Yes. Really great. And John's on the team, one of the ministry team to Kenya. And so we're going to be doing a bit of what we've been doing here these last 2 days over there. And as I said earlier, we are also doing a couple of days down in Fielding in the Presbyterian Church there in the first weekend of September. Just be in prayer about that. There's some wonderful opportunities opening in Presbyterian, Anglican, Baptist, Salvation Army circles. People are really hungry for God, folks. And it's just an awesome privilege. Let me tell you something just while thing. I was down in Harara just 3 weeks ago. And in the Sunday morning meeting was Chester Burrows, the National Party MP. And God gave me a word for him. First of all, I gave him a copy of my new book, Voices, Worms, and told him it wasn't a gardening book. And then I said, Chester, I have a word for you. If you would like me to give it, I'll give it to you. He said, yes, please. I went and got my tape, put the recorder on, did what we did here this afternoon. And I shared this word with him. I said, Chester, the Holy Spirit's telling me that if you will walk humbly before the Lord your God, God will give you a wisdom and an understanding above the norm. And you are to get ready for added responsibilities. He received it so graciously. After the service, he came and asked me to autograph his book, my book, which I did. And then he said, you know, I was in Auckland recently and a total stranger walked up to me and said, what is your name? So he said, I said, my name is Chester Burrows. Why do you want to know? This guy looked at me and said, Rodney Francis told me you were going to be promoted. He has no idea who the person is. I have no idea who the person is. But it's impacted him enough to tell me that story. See? It's interesting that things are happening for us down that end. I'm getting inroads into Parliament. No, I will not be your next Maori MP. Oh, shucks, I just lost a vote. But I tell you, even at that level of society, there are people that are open for the Holy Spirit. And it's just very interesting to see how God opens doors for me to get in here and to get in there and so on. You know? And all this is the fulfillment of prophecy that's been spoken over my life. And, you know, it's this thing about the voice of God. You listen to it. God doesn't tell lies. He leads you right. You obey it. And God will open the right doors for you. Okay? You say, what if I get it wrong? Learn from it. Make the adjustments and keep going till you know you're getting it right. Because when you're getting it right, folks, I tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. I could tell you some stories, but I'm not allowed. Jean's showing me the clock. So welcome, John, for the last time tonight. And sum up, John.
I wasn't prepared or planning to speak tonight, so you can be relieved you're not going to hear a long message from me. But I'm very blessed I mean, I've been very blessed here to be here, this conference, because, you know, one of the things that, there's so much I want to say, but one of the things that I have always felt strongly about, and that is this verse in Corinthians, which speaks about prophecy, verse 31 out of 1 Corinthians 14, for you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. And I think this is probably the first time I have ever actually seen that happen. In all my years of ministry, it just does not happen in the churches. What we have been doing today is the biblical pattern for church. And Rodney was just saying to me, as we went for something to eat just in the break, he said, John, you know, almost we could prophesy, quote, prophesy, unquote, almost exactly 95% of what is going to happen in 95% of all the churches tomorrow morning. We know what's going to happen. We know how many songs they're going to sing. We know in which order they're going to sing them. We know what's going to happen before and after the notices. We know what's going to... It's a pattern, and every church has got their own pattern, but it's just the same old, same old, same old. And where is the room for the Holy Spirit? And this grieves me that... And I'm not criticizing. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone, individual church or any one denomination. I'm just saying that the church worldwide seems to have got itself into a rut that we have to do stuff on a Sunday morning, a program, so that everybody that's spent all week preparing for this program can do the things that they've prepared to do. Instead of actually, wouldn't it be really great if we all spent the week preparing on our knees instead, so that when we actually came, we had a message from the Holy Spirit and we could hear from God? I've only seen one other, I've often said this, I've only seen one other church where I saw the gifts of the Spirit in action and openly, freely, in a church setting, on a Sunday morning setting, and that was in the church of Jackie Pullinger in Hong Kong. And I was there about, must have been about 10 years ago now, actually doing a research for Reinhard Bonnke to see if that was a suitable city for him to do a crusade in, and it turned out that it wasn't for various reasons. So he did a different type of evangelistic event there and passed out booklets instead. But I had the opportunity while I was in Hong Kong to go to her church, and on Sunday morning, yes, they sang songs, which was great, and they worshipped, but then it just went into a kind of an open time. It wasn't a free-for-all by any means, but people began to prophesy. People began to bring messages. People began to come up and minister healing. But just for about, I would think, half, three-quarters of an hour, that was what happened. That was church. And then they went back into more worship. And then they had a short message. And then there was more stuff. And it just kind of ebbed and flowed like a tide, you know. And this is so how the Holy Spirit is, isn't it? When you're really in the flow of the Spirit, he ebbs and flows. And then nothing seems to happen. And then he comes again and ebbs and flows. And that's how this whole church meeting was. I forget how long it lasted, but I remember being blown away. I think this surely is what these scriptures are talking about. Why is it we live in these days, days of astonishing days we live in, but I just kind of feel somehow we've got our church meetings slightly off the plot. This is the plot. It says, what shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everyone. And that's what we've been doing today. And I think that's why we've all been so blessed. Because we've actually done what God told us to do. And I think, you know, and we've heard stories that we've wept and we've cried and we've laughed and we've built team. We've made friends. We've opened up to each other. And we're going to go home stronger in spirit, stronger in our emotions, because we've heard from God. And that's surely
as Rodney said, that's the heart of man, the deepest longing in the heart of man is to hear from God. We're built for relationships. And that is that's what really touches us. And for me, it's been a blessing and a privilege to be here. And even if I could have come and just sit in and not be part of the ministry at all, I still would have been so blessed. And it's been an honor to be among you. And I did want to just say one just little thing, which I had actually omitted to do during the teaching, and I feel is important. And it's actually probably a good place for me to finish. And that is to say, many of you, let's just take a quick, who knows that God's touched them in healing? Wow. Look at this. I would think nearly half the hands. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Listen, one of the commonest ploys of the enemy is to try to persuade you that you haven't been healed. And that it was just hype, or it was just the emotion of the moment. And when you get home and you go back to the cold reality of Monday morning and work or whatever your cold reality is, and we've all got our different cold realities. But when you get back to the cold reality of something other than the hotbed of this, and the little niggling symptoms begin to come back, I want you to know what's going on. You have not lost your healing. You have been healed. What is going on is the devil is trying to put in a little needle to put the little symptoms back on you to persuade you that you are not healed after all. And if he can persuade you that you are not healed, what happens is that you then confess that to yourself and say, oh, well, maybe I wasn't healed. Maybe it was just the hype. Maybe I better go back on my medication. Maybe I better go back to the doctor. And you accept back your sickness. It was never your sickness in the first place. It actually belongs to the devil. It's his. Don't ever say my arthritis or my back pain or my. Don't own it. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It's his. And so how do you stop this? What happens? First of all is to recognize what's going on. That's the first key. And now I know what's going on. That little twinge is coming back. That something is coming. I know what's happening. I recognize what's going on. Devil, get out. You will not steal my healing. Because the word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But if we don't resist the devil, he will not flee. Do you see what I'm saying? Therefore, we have to learn to resist the devil, otherwise he's not going to flee. So when that comes, I'm not saying that it will, but for some people, and I'm saying this because this is a common enough pattern. I've heard this so many times from different people. Oh, this happened. I went back from the meeting. I got healed at the meeting. I went back, and the symptoms came back, and poor me. But the ones who learn to fight it off, and this is the good news. Once you've learned to fight him off, he does not trouble you again. And then you stand on your healing, and he won't bother you. Why doesn't he bother you? Because he knows he's going to get fought off. He's going to pick an easier target. He's a coward. He's not going to come and get his fingers burnt by you. So he's going to push off and leave you alone. But if he thinks that you don't know how to resist, then he will keep niggling away until he can get back at you. So here's the secret, is any of those symptoms come back, kick him out. Push him out. Resist him. Tell him to scram in the name of Jesus and fight him off. And once you've learned, so you might have to get a bit feisty about it, but once you've fought him off, you've won your victory, and I could virtually guarantee that he won't trouble you again in that area. You stand on your healing and claim it and believe it, and you will retain it. Is that cool? Because it's, I hear this story so much that I really felt that it's important. I don't want to say anymore. I've spoken enough. And thank you, by the way, for whoever it was that, yes, he prayed for my throat. It's a lot better. Thank you. And it's not sore anymore, it's just a bit croaky. Bless you. Thanks very much. And thank you for being such wonderful, wonderful friends. God bless you.